By the time I get to Phoenix, she'll be rising.
I'm going to name some songs for you. That one, By the Time I Get to Phoenix. Others, Gentle on My Mind, Wichita Lineman, Galveston, Rhinestone Cowboy, Southern Nights. In our minds, the songs and the songster are inseparable, so tightly woven that they are essentially one. So now the songster is gone. His songs live on. Glenn Campbell died yesterday at the age of 81, taken down by Alzheimer's, like a long, slow train out of town. That's the Jeff Dayton song that's a metaphor for Glenn's last struggle. You know what we do on occasions like this on this show. Sad as it is, we choose to celebrate the life of someone so influential, so valued as Glenn Campbell. And that's what we will do for the next 2 hours. Welcome to the special edition of the All Request Show. Stan Turner here along with Bobby J. And the guy we mentioned a second ago, Jeff Dayton. We are so privileged to have Jeff with us because he knew Glenn Campbell as well as anybody did. Jeff's a Minnesota boy, was Glenn Campbell's guitarist and band leader for 15 years. Jeff is a friend of this program. He's been with us several times and always adds so much content and insight into pop music. Glenn Campbell style, we might say. Good afternoon to you, Jeff. May I offer our condolences to you, and I think along with that, gratitude is an emotion very much with us too, isn't it?
It is, Stan, and thank you for having me on the show.
It's our pleasure indeed. How did you get hooked up with Glenn Campbell, Jeff? When did it happen?
It happened in early 1987, and I was living in Phoenix, Arizona, where my band was opening a big concert for the Judds and Merle Haggard in Alabama at the Coliseum there. And Glenn Campbell, turns out, was an old pal of Haggard's. He had played on and sang on many, many of Haggard's hits, including Lonesome Fugitive and things like that. And he came to the concert to see the Hag, but he caught our set, and he wanted to meet me. He came backstage, and we talked a while, and he was very complimentary about the band. And the next night, as you know, things would go the way they're supposed to go. We were playing at the grand opening of a golf course that Jack Nicklaus had designed, and Nicklaus was there, and sitting next to him at dinner was Glenn Campbell. And I walked up to him, and I said, "Hey, Glenn, since we're old friends, you know, how would you like to sit in with the band?" And he said, "Oh, you know," he's chewing a steak, and he talks anyway. He's country boy to the core. He says, "Well, you know, my songs, Gentle, Rhinestone, Phoenix, Galveston, Wichita, Southern." And it's like, sure, you know. Crossies don't count, right?
Yeah.
And so he came up on stage in a little bit and took my electric guitar. I played acoustic, and it started right there. We played about 30 minutes of stuff, and we did old Bob Wills, and we did Rocky Top, and we did some of his stuff. And everybody was just kind of keeping an eye on each other and making sure that we didn't, you know, mess up there. But two of us knew the chords. Bob, the bass player, and I both were, you know, fans of his forever. So in our ears, we already knew kind of where the songs went. So we were flashing number signs at the other guys to kind of keep them on track.
Mm-hmm.
And he called me a couple days later. Well, first of all, he vanished right afterwards. I mean, he just was famous for not sticking around after shows.
Mm-hmm.
And he called about 3 days later. He goes, "Jeff Dayton, you're a hard guy to find." Well, you could have stuck around, knucklehead. So he called me up and he said, "Man, I turned 50, and I thought I was going to retire and just play golf for the rest of my life." And he said, "I want to play so bad, I'm about to pick in my britches."
Whoa.
So
say that again, Jeff.
He said, "I want to play guitar so much, I miss playing guitar so much that I'm about to pick in my britches."
Wow, okay. That's a Southernism. We Yankees don't talk that. I don't know what that means, but I think I do.
Well, it means, you know, like if you can't hold it, you're going to go.
Yep, that's it.
Yeah, so he was just so fun, and we got together and started meeting at his house and playing and talking about songs and plans, and he was just that way. That's how it happened. I mean, I know it's kind of a little long story, but that's exactly how it happened.
Now, that's a great story. That's a great story. Then you would go on the road with him. You were his guitarist. Wow. Talk about a singular honor there. And then his band leader, and you were out there for 15 years. What stretch of time was that, Jeff?
87 till 02.
Till 02. Okay.
Yeah. And so we had what I call the golden years. I mean, we had a Glenn who was married. He had three new kids. He had a beautiful new wife, Kim Campbell. He was stable in terms of, you know, the compared to his past, let's say. And he was really on. And his playing and singing were unbelievable. And it was a daily humbling as far as my guitar playing, because every time I thought I'd figure something out, he'd come along and just shred me. You know? And I'll tell you a quick story.
Sure,
I bought a vintage guitar and brought it out to one of the county fairs in Ohio that we were playing at. And so excited to have this instrument. And I said, "Hey, Glenn, check out this new guitar I got." And he goes, "Well, that's..." He barely even looked at it. He goes, "That's nice and everything, but I figured you would have learned to play the first one."
What a guy. He obviously was as nice a guy as you paint him to be, because that's the story that keeps coming through and through and through. Jimmy Webb, in his tribute on his website today, says the very same thing. So, you know, he was, sure, an exacting, demanding musician, wanted to make sure everything was right. But when he liked you, he truly liked you.
He wasn't the kind of guy that would get in your face and yell at you or, you know, admonish you in front of the band or anything like that. He was more of the guy that would just move on and you wouldn't hear from as much, you know. We had a wonderful road manager named Bill McClay, and Bill's living in Kentucky now, but he was L.A. guy, and Bill taught me what I call the Bill McClay School of Low Maintenance Touring. And what that was we'd get to shows, and sometimes we had a sound company that really wasn't up to the job, and they were quite underwhelming. And we would still, Glenn would say thank you, Bill would say thank you, great job, we'll see you next time, because there will be a next time. And so it was gracious kind of thing. My friend Lisa Martine used to talk about her husband Matt, and she'd say, "Matt never says a bad word about anybody. He just loves him a little less."
Okay. Had a way with words, that boy, didn't he, huh? Gentle on My Mind, 1967, then reissued in 1968. Had a little bit better luck with that. That's kind of a breakthrough hit. We'll play that for you in just a moment. But Jeff Dayton, there are, of course, a lot of superstars, Glenn Campbell being one of them. What stands him apart from the others?
Wow. Well, but just about everything. I mean, if you look at any part of his career, he was, he said, "I was such a bad actor in True Grit that I made John Wayne look so good that he won his only Oscar." So there's part of that. You know, Glenn was joked about everything, and he was always funny. And, you know, I remember being on the golf course, and his son Cal, who is now in his 30s, but Cal was playing with us, and Glenn was kind of giving him a hard time about his playing. He said, "If you swing like that, you're always going to score like that."
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so he made it funny about whatever it was. And the other things that set him apart were, first of all, his vocals. He had that Sinatra smooth kind of singing voice. That his enunciation, listening to when you guys spin "Gentle on My Mind," just listen to the way he formed the words and the way that he learned in the studio playing on all those hits. We can talk about the Wrecking Crew, but when he got his shot at the thing, he knew that you had to make it easy to understand. And you guys in radio, you guys get it. You can't go blah blah blah, and people are going to go, "I can't understand that guy."
True.
And so it was the same with Glenn and singing, and his phrasing was impeccable, and yet he could change his phrasing on any given night. On the something like 4,000 shows we did together, and astound you with his ability to make it even more special.
You know, Sinatra had those same qualities, didn't he? You talk about the phrasing and the diction, the enunciation, all of those things. Glenn Campbell had those too.
Indeed, and there's no irony that, or no coincidence that Glenn's biggest idol vocally was Frank Sinatra.
Wow. Let's hear that "Gentle on My Mind," Glenn Campbell, back in 1967-68.
It's knowing that your door is always open and your path is free to walk. That makes me tend to leave my sleeping bag rolled up and stashed behind your couch. And it's knowing I'm not shackled by forgotten words and bonds
and the ink stains that are dried upon some line that keeps you in the back roads by the rivers of my memory. It keeps you ever gentle on my mind. It's not clinging to the rocks and ivy planted on their columns now that bind me, or something that somebody said because they thought we'd fit together walking. It's just knowing that the world will not be cursing or forgiving when I walk along some railroad track and find that you're moving on the back roads by the rivers of my memory, and for hours you're just gentle on my mind. Though the wheat fields and the clotheslines and the junkyards and the highways come between us, and some other woman's crying to her mother 'cause she turned and I was gone, I still might run in silence, tears of joy might stain my face, and a summer sun might burn me till I'm blind. But not to where I cannot see you walking on the back roads by the rivers flowing gentle on my mind. I dip my cup of soup back from a gurgling, crackling cauldron in some train yard. My beard a roughening coal pile and a dirty hat full low across my face. Through cupped hands round the tin can, I pretend to hold you to my breast and find that you're awaiting from the back roads by the rivers of my memories, ever smiling, ever gentle on my mind.
What a great song. John Hartford wrote that song. So evocative. He paints a word picture there, of course, in the hands and the larynx of Glenn Campbell. It can't get any better than that, right? Jeff Dayton on the line with us from Chicago. Jeff from Minnesota here. Yes, Jeff Dayton, and for 15 years was Glenn Campbell's guitarist and band leader. That song, Gentle on My Mind, a very, very important song to Glenn Campbell. In a sense, kind of his breakout hit, wasn't it, Jeff?
Sure was. I'm not sure which came first, if it was that one or By the Time I Get to Phoenix, but he used to tell us that the difference that in his career was television. And he had done a taping of the Smothers Brothers show very briefly and then took off for England. And when he left, nobody knew who he was or cared. And when he came back, he couldn't walk through the airport. He was just mobbed for being in it. And here's the thing, you know, he was a handsome kid, a young guy. Well, he was older than he wanted to sell he was, but he was just so likable. He was just like everybody's, like, next-door neighbor kid, you know, the boy that you grew up next door. He was wonderful. And that song, Gentle on My Mind, John Hartford's lyric, I mean, I think that last verse pretty much would sum up what Glenn loved about that song. I may dip my cup of soup from some gurgling, crackling cauldron in some train yard. I had to ask him what the next line was. I said, Glenn, what is it you say? My beard a roughening coal pile. Beard a roughening coal pile and a dirty hat pulled low across my face.
That's not easy to get your tongue around, is it? My goodness. Glenn Campbell, yeah, he liked it. He talked about it. He had this to say about that.
Well, song. You can sing Gentle on My Mind, you know. I sure like what that says, but, you know. It's knowing that your door is always open and your path is free to walk. Whether you say it, whether you sing it, it's a good statement to say to a friend. And that's what it is. It ain't got anything to do about lovers. It's just got to do with a nice statement that makes people feel good.
That's great. I've never heard that clip. Yeah. That clip.
That's Glenn for you. Absolutely.
Yeah, it sure is. And you told it like it was.
He was
the straight ahead kind of say it and get out of the way guy.
Yeah. And television was the perfect medium for him too. Like you say, he was handsome kid. Apple pie cheeked is the way the New York Times put it. I think that's about right. And he just loved him. He was down to earth, well centered, real guy, and just wonderful. So that came across.
Yep. And a joy to be around too, Stan.
Yeah.
Just a wonderful, fun guy. And traveling was easy and life was easy and playing music was even easier.
Jeff, when's the last time you had a conversation with Glenn where he was still lucid, still able to understand who you were and who he was and what was going on?
It was right before I wrote the song Long Slow Train Out of Town.
Oh, boy.
Visited him at the care center that he was living in Nashville. And I walked in, and he looked kind of puzzled, and then he goes, "Oh, hey, J.D." He called me J.D. Yeah. Sometimes. That was his kind of his favorite way of addressing me.
Mm-hmm.
It was nice, but he was really spinning. There were a lot of questions that he couldn't answer on his own. Where am I? What am I doing? Where's the bathroom? You know, that kind of thing. And it was enough that I think that told me that I needed to make that our closing visit. And so that was the last time I saw him.
Yeah, we're going to be playing that beautiful song of yours, Long, Slow Train Out of Town. As I said, a metaphor for Glenn's leaving us, that long, long goodbye that is Alzheimer's. We're going to, we'd like to talk about By the Time I Get to Phoenix. And with that, of course, we have to talk about Glenn's association with Jimmy Webb. J.D., if I can use J.D., we tried to get a hold of Jimmy today, and understandably, like you, he is heartbroken. You were able to sum it up some strength today to do this with us. Thank you so much. Jimmy just can't do it. He put out a statement, kind of a appreciation, you might call it, on his website. We'll share some of that with you. But what about, this was magic, wasn't it, Jimmy Webb and Glenn Campbell?
It was, and when you saw the two of them sitting on stage together, and you saw the man with the piano, Jimmy, and you saw the man with the voice and the guitar, Glenn, and we would stand frozen in astonishment on stage while they were lit up in a white special light, and it was a match made in heaven. I mean, there are people like Dionne Warwick and Burt Bacharach. There are people like... Oh God! I find another one. Sinatra and his songwriters. Glenn and Jimmy were paired divinely, and there was no better combination. Jimmy was that yearning, aching, artistic guy who wanted to write songs that were earth-shatteringly important, and Glenn was the guy with the voice to do it. And Glenn was so. He was wired to do songs like that, and you can tell in his comments about Gentle on My Mind. So by the time I get to Phoenix, it's this tremendous longing. Glenn used to say, "Don't tell me what you think, tell me what you want." And that was what one of his pieces of advice for me as a songwriter. So Jimmy brought that amazing combination. Now, Glenn had played on Pat Boone's record of By the Time I Get to Phoenix. And he had seen the title on an album that was hanging on the wall at Gold Star, the studio in Los Angeles that they all recorded at. And I'll never forget, we were doing a thing with Pat Boone one time, and he goes, "Now, Jeff, remember to tell Glenn that I was the first one to record By the Time I Get to Phoenix."
And nobody remembers, Pat.
That's right. Well, I'll do that, Pat.
Yeah.
But, you know, Glenn found the song because he was interested in lyrics. And he used to remark to us all the time, he said, "Boy, I sure am glad I didn't record the peppermint twist."
Yeah, Jeff, we're going to play By the Time I Get to Phoenix, but first give us just a little bit of the backstory, if you can.
Well, Glenn found the song and couldn't believe how good it was, and they put that out as his first single, and just history was made.
Yeah, and I think a lady named Susan Horton figured in about at least three of Jimmy Webb's songs. He was a hurting guy over his love affair with her, so I think I think she figures in the song. Let's play it for you right here.
By the time I get to Phoenix, she'll be rising. She'll find the note I left hanging on her door. She'll laugh when she reads the part that says I'm leaving. 'Cause I've left that girl so many times before. By the time I make Albuquerque,
she'll be working.
You know that song, don't you? Oh, so well. A number two hit for Glenn Campbell. Jimmy Webb wrote the song, went to number 26 on the Billboard Top 40 back in 1967. We are reminiscing. We are giving a tribute, a deserved one, to this wonderful man, this wonderful human being, great musician, and great friend to all who knew him, Glenn Campbell, who passed away at age 81 yesterday. Jeff Dayton with us on the phone from Chicago. As I said at the beginning, Jeff knows Glenn as well as anybody does. We're going to be back with you with more insight into this man, Glenn Campbell, more of his songs and more of the stories behind the man and his music. So please stay with us.
She'll turn softly, call my name out low, and she'll cry just to think I'd really leave her. Though time and time I've tried to tell her so, she just didn't know I would really go.
If you like what you hear on the Wolf Brewing Company All Request Show, let somebody know.
Better yet, step in at one of our fine sponsors and thank them for supporting the show. Sponsors like
Riley Tours,
Timely Expressions,
River Valley Ford,
My Pillow,
Defined Destinations,
Scandia Shores of Shoreview,
Pro-Life Across America,
Wayback Burger in Woodbury,
Jaime's Haberdashery,
and of course, the Wolf Brewing Company.
Ask yourself this. When you wake up in the morning after a full night's sleep, do you feel like you need a nap? Hi, this is Stan Turner, and I wake up refreshed because I sleep on a My Pillow. With a My Pillow, you can rearrange the patented fill so you have the exact support you need. And getting the support you need for your head and neck will get you that quality sleep you need so you'll be rested and ready to face the day. My Pillow has a 10-year warranty that's guaranteed not to go flat. It's washable and dryable. And with the KLBB 4-pack special, you'll get two premium bed pillows and two go-anywhere My Pillows, all for 50% off the regular price and free shipping. Call 800-313-8659. It's 800-313-8659. And make sure to mention KLBB for the 4-pack special. You can also go to MyPillow.com and enter promo code KLBB. Then you can say, I love My Pillow.
This is Tom from TimelyExpressions.com on KLBB Imagination Radio. Imagine you need a gift for that someone special, but you're here and they're there. Imagine if you could make one call and be done. You can! Call us at 612-414-3674 and we will help you create the perfect customized embroidered gift. Make it, gift wrap it, and add a card from you and mail it. They will wonder how you did it, but they will know how much you care.
If you see your brother standing by the road with a heavy load, sees he's sold. And if you see your sister falling by the way.
There's a voice, there's music that will stay with us for the rest of our days. Celebrating the life of Glenn Campbell today. Glenn left us yesterday at the age of 81, and we are doing the celebration of his life with Jeff Dayton. We couldn't pick a better person to do it. Jeff Dayton, for a long time, was Glenn's guitarist and his band leader. And Jeff Dayton is on the line with us from Chicago right now. You just left the Twin Cities. Minnesota is your home, Jeff. You come back home from time to time, and you do a celebration program, a show about Glenn Campbell. I think you've been out at the... Well, where have you been out here? You've been so many venues around here. Chanhassen Dinner Theater, for one.
Yeah, the Chanhassen Dinner Theater was the first one to ask me to come in, and we ended up selling out every show we've done there since. Mm-hmm. Just a wonderful place and wonderful people. And then we've been up at Les Musiques in St. Michael this year and had a great night there mm-hmm. with them. The show is actually going back to Sedona, Arizona for our fourth straight year. And we're also playing down in southwestern Colorado and northern New Mexico. Who knows what will happen now that Glenn's gone, but Glenn's music is so good, and I want to say, too, thank you for honoring him today. He deserves to be remembered this way.
He does. He does. Thank you for summoning the courage, Jeff. I know this is not easy for you, sir. You were a very close friend, beloved friend, and I know Glenn felt the same way about you. It's hard to do. We respect you so much, and thank you so much, Jeff. And please bring your show back here to your home state of Minnesota. People love it. We may see a spike, a spurt in interest. Not that it's ever waned, but you know these passings sometimes make people long even more for the music they love so much. So,
yeah.
Glenn and his music are not going away. We played by the time I get to Phoenix, first of several Jimmy Webb songs that Glenn did. And Glenn had a couple comments about by the time I get to Phoenix, right here.
Well, Phoenix, I would get homesick for Arkansas. I would get homesick to see my folks, to be around the surroundings. I was very busy doing whatever it was I was doing, mainly studio work or playing with the Beach Boys out on the road. Singing the high part, it was a lot of fun. But I would, and when I heard Phoenix, it was backtracking because I had been in Albuquerque 8 years before. And by the time I get to Phoenix, she'll be rising, and I was thinking about going back home. And then by the time I make Albuquerque, she'll be working, you know. And Jimmy said, by the time I make Oklahoma, she'll be sleeping. It was a pretty fast trip, mind you, but it's a poetic what do you call it, license. I wanted to say on the last verse, by the time I make Arkansas, she'll be sleeping. But Arkansas didn't sing as well as Oklahoma. And besides that, Jimmy would have had a hissy if I'd have put Arkansas, because he's from Oklahoma.
Jeffrey, what about that, huh?
Yeah, true story there. He repeated that story a bunch. And he's right, too. The phrasing of Arkansas just didn't match Oklahoma.
It doesn't happen.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny because you listen to that song after we had just talked about Phoenix. The longing in that song, it was so big. And the other thing is that we've kind of not talked about is the music behind it. There's that that what they call a chromatic third key change at the end of the song, where it drops from the key of F down to the key of D and finishes in D. And that was a very common theme for music in the 60s in the Westerns and some of those shows, that big, you know, epic songs. But it did something chordally, and Glenn was a jazzer. He was an amazing, capable musician of incredible chord changes. So I'm sure that attracted him more than just, you know, the peppermint twist, as we said.
no doubt about it. Apparently he loved Jimmy Webb's chord progressions, too. We're getting a little technical here. But, folks, if you think that writing pop music is a piece of cake, just take out a cocktail napkin and write out a couple lines. Uh-uh. There's a lot of professionalism, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, and know-how and intelligence that goes into these songs. No doubt about it.
Dan, have you ever heard Jimmy's story about how he got going as a songwriter?
I read his book, "The Cake and the Rain," his memoirs. Jeff, have you had a chance yet?
Well, I haven't, there was one called Tunesmith before then, so I need to get both of those. But
I've got Tunesmith.
I was talking to Jimmy when Jimmy was writing Tunesmith. That was years ago when Glenn was just turning 60, so that was over 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy was in Nashville, and he told us, he said, I was just a kid on my tractor, I was 16 years old, and Turn Around, Look at Me came on the radio, and it was Glenn Campbell's voice, and he said, I want to write a song for a guy that good. And I went home to my room, and I got down on my little 16-year-old knees, and I folded my hands, and I prayed, and I said, God, please let me write a song that's half as good as Turn Around, Look at Me. And he said, my prayers were answered in a snap of my fingers, and I wrote 150 songs that were only half that good.
Jimmy Webb would have made his father proud, because his daddy, as you know, was a preacher man down there in Oklahoma, too. And that anecdote you just told us about is in the book, his memoirs, Jimmy Webb's memoirs, The Cake and the Rain. You've got to read it. So it's a marvelous piece. Speaking of Jimmy Webb songs, we have another one here that was such a big hitter for Glenn Campbell. And, you know, tell us a little bit about Wichita Lineman. We're going to have Glenn himself tell us about it. Very interesting story.
Let's just say Glenn openly admitted this was his favorite song he ever recorded in his whole career. And the cool thing is, I was the same answer came from everybody else. Everyone points to Jimmy Webb's writing on this song, I Need You More Than Want You, and I Want You For All Time. And so there's always there's a thing in every song that hooks the singer, that if you know the singer well enough, you can spot what that line was. And it's like the My Beard a Roughin' and Coal Pile of Gentle on My Mind. And it's in Wichita Lineman, it's that couplet, I Need You More Than Want You, and I Want You For All Time.
Yeah.
That's probably the best couplet in pop music history. And everybody will, you know, pretty much agree. I go, every live show I've got, they want to hear some Glenn Campbell, it's almost always Wichita Lineman.
And here it is.
I am a lineman for the county, and I drive the main road, searching in the sun for another. Singing in the wire, I can hear you through the whine, and the Wichita lineman is still on the line. I know I need a small vacation, but it don't look like rain. And if it snows, that stretch down south won't ever stand the strain. And I need you more than want you, and I want you for all. Wichita lineman is still on the
perfect chemistry between songwriter Jimmy Webb and vocal artist and guitarist Glenn Campbell. Number 3 on the top 40 charts back in 1968 and number 1 on the country charts. And that underscores the fact that Glenn Campbell was one of the great crossover country artists. He never thought of himself purely as a country artist, and he straddled both of those, Jeff Dayton, and did it so well, the pop charts and the country charts. And a question about that, who was playing the bass guitar there? We have some confusion about that. Was it Carol Kaye borrowing Glenn's guitar, or was it Glenn doing that?
Vice versa. It was Glenn borrowed Carol Kaye's six-string bass.
Oh, that's what it was.
But
Carol, give me your guitar.
But the deal with the top of that song, where there's that ba-da-ba-da-ba-da, you know, kicks off with a little bass line, that was Carol's idea.
Okay.
And Glenn was going to just open with rhythm guitar chords, you know, F to a B-flat, and he was... It was Carol that said, we need a little something there. And so she put that on there.
Yeah.
And that kind of led to the sound of the baritone sound, or, you know, I call it baritone guitar.
There it is.
Six-string bass that Glenn played on that. Also, that was an incomplete song. I don't know if you know that story, if it's part of any sound clips you've got.
Well, go ahead, please.
Well, Glenn called Jimmy Webb in Los Angeles, and he said, we're in the studio right now. We need another song about a town. And Jimmy said, "What do you mean? I only got one. It was by the time we get to Phoenix, and you know, thanks for making it a hit." And Glenn said, "No, we're in the studio right now. We need another one." He said, "I don't have one." And Glenn says, "Well, this is so Glenn." He goes, "Just write one."
Yeah. Just give me the cocktail
napkin. Write the biggest song of your career right now. What do you think, guys? Can you do it? And Jimmy was really kind of frustrated because Jimmy will tell you that he's pretty AR, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And
I got you. Retentive being the last word.
Everything needs to be perfect. I mean, he'll fill 3 pages of legal pad, single line, you know, ideas for a song before he ever starts collating into rhyme schemes, you know, sections. He just wants to get the material out. So he agreed to try to do something. He said, "Let me see what I can get going, and I'll let you know." And a couple hours later, he called the studio and he said, "I've got 2 verses. I have no chorus. I have no idea what it's called. I don't. It's just a start. But let me send it over and tell me if I'm working in the right direction."
Mm-hmm.
And he did, and back then it was reel-to-reel tape, and they couriered the tape over to the studio, and he never heard back.
Mm-hmm.
And a week later, he bumped into Glenn, and he was like, "Man, I'm so sorry you didn't like what I sent you." He said, "No, we loved it. We recorded it." And Jimmy, you know, in his true Jimmy self, you know, he's like, you got to be kidding me. That wasn't even done. It was just, and Glenn says, "No, it was perfect." And that, if anybody remembers anything about Glenn and his music, it's Glenn knew a hit song when he heard one, and he knew to not make it too busy.
Yeah.
And any more than that would have ruined the song. Yeah. In hindsight, we can say that. But he just had that gift. He knew what he wanted to say, you know, it was just so cool. The other thing is his voice on there, Stan.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you love his voice.
Oh, absolutely.
As I do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's pure as can be. It's just, you know, he's just the purest of artists. There's no question about it. And people don't really understand. A lot of people don't know what a great guitar player he was, too. He was one of the top guitarists anywhere, this country or anywhere. Glenn Campbell had some interesting words, Jeff, about Wichita Lineman and its writing. And here we
Don Ho. Was doing the TV show, and Don Ho was on the show. And he said, "Glenn, here, I recorded a Jimmy Webb song, and it didn't do nothing for me." And I said, "Well, which one?" And I put his record of it on. Galveston. Oh. And he did the song like, Galveston.
Let's take it. We're going to redo that a little bit later. We're talking about the Galveston, which is next in the Jimmy Webb troika here, we could call it. But Wichita Lineman, as I say, for Glenn Campbell, went to number 3 on the pop charts and number 1 country. Then we get to Galveston, and please give us a little backstory on that one, if you could. A backstory or 3 or 4. They're always great, Jeff. What can you tell us about that?
Being known as the guy who sang about towns, and years later, Dennis Morgan, who is from Tracy, Minnesota, actually, and is a friend of mine, moved to Nashville to be a hit songwriter, and when he finally got Steve Warner to the top of the charts with a song called Kansas City Lights, if you listen to Kansas City Lights, you will recognize that Denny was trying to emulate one of the great Jimmy Webb songs. Everybody knew that Webb was the writer. He was the guy who had the magic, and everyone loved Glenn's thing. And so that was one of the reasons that Steve Warner has been a lifetime Glenn Campbell fan and Jimmy Webb fan. So Wichita Lineman, man, you get that same combination of the chromatic third chord change. You get the visual pictures. You know, if it snows, that stretch down south might never stand the strain. I mean, you can just see that lonesome guy on a high line working a pole somewhere in the middle of nowhere, and he's lonesome, and he's cold, and it's wintertime, and he's lonely, and man, you know, it pulls on your heart, and that's what Glenn looked for.
And he found it. He certainly found it in Jimmy Webb's songs. Galveston from 1969, and Jeff, this has something of a combat flavor to it. Don't in the story about a guy who's in a war zone?
Yeah, I think it was the Spanish-American War, actually.
Really?
Yeah, a lot of people thought it was Vietnam, but, you know, it's actually, I think, set in the Spanish-American War in the Gulf of Mexico there, and, you know, it was from that viewpoint. Jimmy had a way of pulling people's historic character into a song. And when we get to the song, The Highwayman, we should talk about that.
We'll do that. Galveston, another big hit, a number one country hit for Glenn Campbell, a Jimmy Webb song. Number four on the pop charts, Galveston.
I still hear your sea winds blowing. I still see her dark eyes glowing. She was 21 when I left Galveston. Galveston, oh Galveston. I still hear your sea waves crashing while I watch the cannons flashing. I clean my gun and dream of Galveston. I still see her standing by the water. Looking out to sea, and is she waiting there for me on the beach where we used to run? Galveston, oh Galveston, I am so afraid of dying before I dry the tears she's crying. Before I watch your seabirds flying in the sun at Galveston, at Galveston.
Okay, Jeff Dayton, who's the picker on that one there, the guitar player?
Yeah,
huh?
One guess.
could only be Glenn,
you know,
Campbell.
Go ahead. You know, you're playing these songs back-to-back like this is really kind of bringing back to, you know, it makes it pretty clear that Glenn found a sound while he was doing these songs. It parallels the movie music that at the time we were talking about, the great westerns of the time. Mm-hmm. The music that went with True Grit, the music went with Bonanza, I mean, the music that went with the, you know, everything else that was out, the Great American, you know, experience. And that was that same baritone guitar with the vibrato on it to an old Fender amp. That's just all they had back then.
How could you improve on that?
Again, it's that lyric combination. You know, it's like Jimmy Webb had a way of writing lyrics that parlayed the line before it and made the next line even better, and then he could double up on that. It was one of those things where you hear it. It's Galveston, oh Galveston, I am so afraid of dying. Okay, yeah. I buy that.
Wow.
That's deep. Before I dry the tears she's crying, oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Before I watch your seabirds flying in the sun.
Uh-huh.
You just, all that freedom, all of a sudden it just bursts into the clouds.
At the risk of hyperbole, it's genius versus genius, or meets genius, really, isn't it? The songwriter and the artist. It's amazing. Galveston, as we might have heard just a bit ago, the way that Glenn Campbell got to the song came via that guy who sang Tiny Bubbles.
Don Ho. Was doing the TV show, and Don Ho was on the show. And he said, Glenn, here. I recorded a Jimmy Webb song, and it didn't do nothing for me. And I said, well, which one? And I put his record of it on. Galveston. Oh. And he did the song like Galveston, oh Galveston, only in a lower key. And I thought he never was going to get through the song before, you know, but. What a great song that is.
Yeah, what a great singer you are and were, Glenn Campbell. That's amazing. Amen. Don Ho, of all people, Jeff.
Yes. And he used to imitate Don's voice even more than he did in that clip where he said, "Oh, here, Glenn, maybe you have better luck with this song than I did."
Tiny bubbles.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, and, Glenn, you know, we were sitting in a hotel room one time, and there was a debate going on about what song, what tempo we were doing a song at. And our drummer was concerned that it was the wrong tempo because Glenn was tapping his foot, you know, and it didn't seem to match where they were playing, and he was worried that he was getting signals from the dugout that he was doing the wrong play, you know what I'm saying? And so we're having pizza and sitting around talking in Glenn's suite, and Glenn said, "No." He said, if I start a song somewhere, play it there. He said, "Let me show you what Galveston," and he did that. He did that Don Ho thing. And just showed us. He said, "If I put it here, sing it here. Give me a second. Man, I got something for you that you didn't know I had." A second.
Yep.
It was like this. Galveston, oh Galveston. I don't know if you can hear the guitar.
Yeah,
back
yeah,
here,
I can. Sure.
That's what he would do. He said, "If I put it here, play it here." Galveston, oh Galveston, and it's a pocket. You know, if I set up the pocket, play it there.
Play it where I put it. That's it. That's
play
it.
Play it where I put it.
Wow,
yeah.
That's wild. Jeff Dayton with us as we pay tribute to this wonderful artist, this wonderful man, Glenn Campbell. We're going to take him. Yeah, there's so much to him. You know, it's hard to believe. More than his music, we want to tell you a bit about where he came from, his formative years. Hey, that early rock and roll he mentioned too. He was in on some historic recordings before we ever knew who he was. So stay with us, Jeff Dayton. It is a delight to have you on board. Thank you. Please stay with us if you can. We're going to take a break. Come right back.
We've all heard the saying that there's no free lunch, but that's not true anymore, because when you make an appointment to tour Scandia Shores of Shoreview, you do get a free lunch, a chef-prepared meal just for you. It's all part of your tour of their exceptional facilities. This is an independent senior living community offering a welcoming atmosphere and a comfortable lifestyle. Think about never having to be alone. No worries about driving for groceries when the weather is bad. Lawn mowing, shoveling snow, meal prep, that's all taken care of for you. Scandia Shores of Shoreview is a community of friends for seniors who desire their own apartments but also like to gather for social events and activities. Call 651-415-9793 and make an appointment for a tour. That includes the free lunch made by Chef Joe. See for yourself the beautiful building and spacious apartments that include those full-size appliances and plenty of cabinets and closets. Most of all, meet the warm and friendly staff at Scandia Shores of Shoreview. Call 651-415-9793.
Right now at Subway, get a foot-long sweet onion chicken teriyaki or a foot-long Subway club for only $6. Two of our most popular sandwiches at a compelling value. This deal won't be here long, so enjoy it while it lasts. For a limited time only at participating restaurants, Subway.
Wolf Beer in the Bottle isn't just any bottled beer. Why? Remove the cork to find out. Hey, you bet. That's a real cork. Now pour. What a great taste. The Strong Golden is a Belgian-style ale featuring local honey from the valley, chamomile, and rose hips. Are you ready to enjoy? Go to wolfbrewing.com, click on Beer Finder, then ask for Wolf's, Stillwater's original craft beer. Wolf Brewing Company, Stillwater, Minnesota.
We are all aging. Do you worry about services for your aging parents or for yourself as you grow older? A free call to the Senior Linkage Line gives you objective help to find the services you need, like getting to appointments, finding yard work help, and so much more. You'll even get answers to questions you didn't know you had. Call the Senior Linkage Line at 1-800-333-2433. That's 1-800-333-2433. Senior Linkage Line. We are aging.
There's been a load of compromise.
The man who brought you Rhinestone Cowboy, Glenn Campbell. We will always remember.
But I'm gonna be where the lights are shining on me. Like a rhinestone cowboy.
Pink tribute to an American music icon. Glenn Campbell left us yesterday at the age of 81 after a long struggle with Alzheimer's. Glenn Travis Campbell, born April 22nd, 1936, not too far from Little Rock, Arkansas. He was the seventh son. That's right, the seventh son in a family of eight boys and four girls. Get this, when he was four, Glenn Campbell, his father, ordered him a three-quarter-size guitar for $5 from a Sears Roebuck catalog, and Glenn was performing on local radio programs by the time he was 6 years old. So his father was a cotton sharecropper in Arkansas, but Glenn, in his beautiful words here, said, "I got tired of looking a mule in the butt." In fact, what he was saying was, "Farming ain't for me. I'm leaving." So he got out of there and eventually took off for other greener pastures and wound up as a session musician, yes, with some of the biggest names of the day out in California with Phil Spector Group and all the rest. And he was in on some. Jeff Dayton is with us. Jeff, that guy was singing with the likes of the Beach Boys and Jan and Dean, and even on the other side of the ledger, Frank Sinatra and all the rest.
He sure had it. I mean, he was right in the heat of it all. And Dick Clark has a quote in the Wrecking Crew film that says, if America knew how many songs that we were playing on hit radio were all the same band, they'd probably be outraged.
They were the same backing musicians. But boy, yeah, were they good. They were the A-team, weren't they, Jeff?
They were, and there was a big stable of them, and Carol Kaye was there, and Hal Blaine was there, and Leon Russell was on piano on a lot of that stuff. And, so many different people, about three or four guitar players, including Tommy Tedesco and our wonderful late great friend Al Casey, and just on and on like that. And if you listen to those songs, I mean, there's a full orchestra on a lot of that.
There is. That's the string treatment. And among other artists, Glenn was in there playing backup for Elvis Presley, Merle Haggard, Beach Boys. He played guitar on the Pet Sounds album, right, Jeff? And toured with the Beach Boys for several months following the breakdown.
You know, I've read that the Beatles were so impressed with Pet Sounds that they did Sgt. Pepper's as a response.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Carol Kaye hates the term Wrecking Crew. Just as an aside, you know why? She said, "Don't ever call it that. We never called it that, the Wrecking Crew." True or not?
I did hear that the reason they were named that was that the older guys that wore suit coats to work and left at 5 o'clock were saying, "These guys are going to wreck the whole business."
And that's exactly the story we get to. That's it.
Yeah.
Glenn Campbell, so many songs to choose from, so little time. But we've got the rest of this hour and next hour, too. Jeff Dayton with us. Jeff, who is a guitarist and band leader for Glenn Campbell, the man we salute here today. With him for 15 years on stage all around the country, and I would guess on the road. Let's talk about a song that we love to play here, get a lot of requests for it, from 1969, Try a Little Kindness. Not a Jimmy Webb song, but a song with a great message, Jeff.
It is, and in fact, Glenn talked about how he found the song, and he loved the song. He said, but the second verse kind of, it didn't quite do it for him, and it was about the Kansas wheat field farmer, and he said, "Oh, don't say that. Let me fix that." So he wrote, "When You See Your Sister Falling," by the way, he wrote the second verse himself.
Okay.
But he said, what I chose to do was I told the guy, "Look, you go ahead and keep the writing share, and I'll take the publishing."
Okay.
And that's how he ended up. He said, "That's how I got into publishing," and that was a smart move.
He was a smart guy, a great singer. Yeah. Here's another example.
Yeah.
Standing by the road with a heavy load of the seeds he sowed, and if you see your sister falling by the way, just stop and say, "You're going the wrong way. You've got to try a little kindness. Yes, show a little kindness. Just shine your light for everyone to see. Down and out, lend a helping hand instead of doubt. And the kindness that you show every day will help someone along their way.
Glenn Campbell with another big hitter there. No question about that. Try a Little Kindness. 23 on the charts in 1969. And Jeff, Glenn Campbell has described himself oftentimes as a song doctor. And you told us how he doctored up that song, saw a verse that he didn't much care for. So he changed it. Little surgery.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was. People said, "Oh, he wrote some great songs." Everything. No, he knew how to edit great songs.
He sure did. Love the lyric.
There was a web song called Cottonwood Farms, and it's about 7 minutes long. And Glenn used to play it for us in the dressing room. It's like what he was talking about with Don Ho. Was he ever going to finish the song? But he said that you know, he knew how to cut a song down to the essence, and so he would edit. He would take stuff out. In fact, I can't tell you on the air what he called it, but it was a screen of sorts. And it basically pulled, you know, the rocks and the garbage out of the lyric.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what was left was the essence of the message, and he would filter songs that way. And he did it to my songs, and it was like, blew my mind. Yeah. I would sit with my jaw hanging open. He would take, even phrasing-wise, he would take a word and just move it around the corner to a new spot, and you would just be like, I wish I could sing it for you right now, but I don't want to bore you with my stuff. But it's that kind of skill, that ear for when a song is a classic, finished, you know, gem, and that's what he had.
The man had a golden ear, no question about it. Jeffrey, please do. Jeff Dayton, please do stay with us for hour two as we remember your good buddy and ours too, Glenn Campbell. Folks, stay.
Thank you, man.
We'll be back right after the news at the top of the hour here. Do stay with us. 68 degrees in the Twin Cities right now. Back in a minute.